I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, even Governor Bob Ferguson knows that the initiative to repeal his unconstitutional state income tax is on fire and likely to wind up in front of voters in November, so he's starting up the lie factory early. Plus, a now notorious Sammamish City Councilwoman accused of violating state law by harassing signature gatherers. Pam, Pam, Pam. And a PDC complaint alleges backdoor fundraising for a socialist candidate for the state house. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. This is the last day. I have until 5:30 p.m. to take advantage of our once yearly promo. Go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30 to get 30% off an entire year. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Oh, baby. We knew the initiative to repeal the unconstitutional state income tax would be popular. But there's a reality that there was also a very limited period of time to be able to collect signatures. I believe July 2nd is the final day. They need more than 400,000 signatures to be safe. I knew it would be popular, but even I didn't expect for them to be able to gather this many signatures this soon. Let's Go Washington announces that in like a week's time, 1 week, people, they gather nearly 100,000 signatures. 1 week, 25% of what they need. And one of the other reasons this is so significant is this is all based on just boots on the ground. Let's Go Washington has created this system where they'll mail you, and a lot of people pre-ordered packets of initiatives, and they'll send them right to the door of people who've already signed past Let's Go Washington initiatives and are likely to support this one as well. They haven't even mailed those out yet. I think they're just going out today. And that's like hundreds of thousands of people. So this is boots on the ground, people gathering signatures amongst friends at events, out in the community, signing them at grocery stores. I mean, this is going to be a done deal, folks. They're going to get enough signatures to be able to put this income tax repeal on the ballot in November. And you know who also understands that? Governor Bob Ferguson. Just a few minutes ago, he put out this post on X. He said, it looks like the voters will get a say on whether to maintain the tax on income over $1 million that was passed earlier this year. And I look forward to the public having their say on this important policy. First, let me start there before I read the rest of it, which is his lie factory starting up. There was an opportunity for Democrats during the session, as they were considering this, to do it the right way, and the right way would be, the legal way would be, via constitutional amendment, because the way it's currently structured, it's blatantly unconstitutional. Republicans tried to get them to say, hey, you can put this bill together, but make it contingent on voters passing a constitutional amendment to allow an income tax of this nature. Democrats said no. Bob's like, nah, no big deal. And they even added the little necessity clause onto the end that prevented voters from running something much more simple than an initiative, a referendum. And now Bob wants to say, I look forward to the public having their say on this important policy. The public is going to have a say in spite of you, despite everything that you've done to try to prevent the public from having a say. So spare me your nice, oh, I'm totally happy the public is having a say. Good grief. And then he goes on to, again, start up the lie factory. He said, to be clear, whenever a politician says, to be clear, you know it's going to be followed by lies and nonsense. He said, this reform of our regressive tax code included expansion of tax credits for working families, relief for small businesses, and investments in K-12 and affordable childcare. One more thing voters should know, so long as I'm governor, I will veto any attempt to lower the threshold or raise the rate of this tax. We are asking those who make the most to pay a little more and providing relief to workers and small businesses. Let's keep it that way. So there's a few, he absolutely overstates the little bonuses that they tucked into this. The reason why they put language in the intent section about, oh, this is going to pay for free school lunch and do all these things and help small businesses, even though it's measly, it's pennies, it's is because they know that they passed a law 3 years ago that allows them to take language from that intent section and put it right on the ballot. So it basically says, if you repeal this tax, children will go hungry and families will starve and businesses will close. So it's all just a lie that's been built over many, many years. Also, when he says, as long as I'm governor, I will veto any attempt to lower the threshold or raise the rate of this tax. Two things. He can't be trusted. He said coming into this legislative session that he didn't want to, you know, raise new taxes. That was after he passed the largest tax increase in state history into law 3 months into the job, after he campaigned on wanting to be a fiscal hawk. After he gave his inaugural address talking about we really need to budget better. So the man can't be trusted. He says one thing to get elected. He does another thing entirely just a couple months later. But the other issue is, as long as I'm governor, I will veto any attempt to lower the threshold or raise the rate of this tax. Governor Ferguson knows one thing to be true. It is very possible that Democrats get a veto-proof majority in the legislature. They've been slowly working toward that. And a veto-proof majority, meaning two-thirds in the House and the Senate, would allow them to override a veto from the governor. And he probably expects that they're going to get that so he can save face by vetoing an attempt to lower it, to have an income tax that applies to everyone, for instance. And he can say, oh, I vetoed it, knowing full well that if they get a veto-proof majority, they can override and will override his veto. Not to mention, we still don't know what the state Supreme Court is going to say about this. What if this is all by design? So the state Supreme Court can say, you can have this income tax, but you've got to do it in this way. And then they'll say, oh, our hands are tied. The state Supreme Court told us we have to do it. So Bob can't be trusted. Bob's a proven liar. He campaigns on one thing and does another. But the one thing Bob's telling the truth about is the fact that voters are going to have a say on this in November. So the lies are going to ramp up. The money? I don't even know if you understand. You understand. But how much money is going to be spent telling lies on TV and on the radio and in mailers about this income tax? They spent $40 million trying to keep the long-term care tax and the Climate Commitment Act. And that money is going to be spent by SEIU and the Washington Education Association and the unions that are going to benefit handsomely from an income tax on quote-unquote millionaires, or eventually an income tax on everyone. I bet they spend $60 million to try to defeat this one initiative. $60 million can buy a lot of lies. And meanwhile, they're trying to come after me, saying I'm providing free advertising to Let's Go Washington. Let's dig into the books of who's going to spend probably $60 million telling lies on TV. But speaking of the group that's coming up after me, so they're going to spend all this money, but their tactics are more vicious than that, right? So they got their lies and the standard political stuff. But of course, we're in the middle of a signature gathering phase. Let's Go Washington has folks out on the ground. And there is no reason to believe that the left won't do what they've done during every other Let's Go Washington initiative drive. That is harass, intimidate, and even assault people who are out there trying to practice their constitutional right to initiative. And of course, this has already begun, where the people are out there harassing signature gatherers. But one of the individuals accused of this harassment is a familiar face. So remember a couple weeks ago when I announced that this cabal of progressive lunatics was coming after me? They filed a PDC complaint, which is the Public Disclosure Commission, accusing me of basically, on my show, using my platform to support the Let's Go Washington initiative so much that that should amount to in-kind contributions. They want the state to regulate my speech. One of the people who was behind that stunt, and that's what it was, a publicity stunt, to call my integrity into question, was Sammamish City Councilwoman Pam Stewart. You already know I'm happy I could talk about Pam again on the show. So she had a press conference along with her political buddies at Powerhouse Strategic and this Washingtonians for Ethical Government, which is just a cover organization for far-left political operatives. And she basically said, Brandy can't just use her show and her speech to support whatever she wants. She's not a journalist anymore.
Ms. Cruz is no longer a journalist. She is now a paid online influencer. She now makes her living through online influencing. She's not considered a journalist anymore.
and therefore, allegedly, I don't have free speech. Well, Pam is at it again. Not only does Pam attack the First Amendment, Pam is also engaged, allegedly, in election interference. So on Monday at the Safeway in the city of Sammamish, there were two signature gatherers there collecting signatures for the initiative to repeal the income tax. When guess who shows up? Pammy. Pam and her haircut showed up in force. I wish her name was Karen because it would be a lot more appropriate. And she starts, according to these signature gatherers, harassing them, standing in front of them, hindering their ability to collect signatures, trying to tell the police who were called that she didn't think what they were doing was legal, confronting people in the parking lot to try to convince them not to sign the initiatives. That's some pretty inappropriate conduct for a sitting city council member in Sammamish, but it is also potentially illegal. So one of those signature gatherers, his name is Nick Large, he joined us to explain what, and he didn't even know at first that this was a city council member, but he joined us to explain what he says, what he now understands as a city council member, was doing. Nick, welcome to Undivided.
I'm glad to be here. How you doing?
Good. So thanks for helping us try to repeal this unconstitutional income tax. How often do you do signature gathering around the country?
Full time for the most part. There's we have in between campaigns breaks here and there. But, you know, during the election seasons, every 2 years, we're busy.
How have you been treated in the great state of Washington so far gathering signatures?
So far, it's been pretty good. Besides getting harassed by Pam Stewart, most people are pretty receptive to the issue. A lot of people support, repealing the income tax.
So tell me, take me through what happened with Pam Stewart, and when did you find out that she's a city council member?
To keep a long story short, my brother and I were petitioning outside of a Safeway in Sammamish. And I had a couple people that I didn't even ask to sign kind of harassed me a little bit, like, hey, you shouldn't be here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they went inside to complain. And then the police came because the manager had to, you know, he wasn't really sure what to do with us out there. And so when the police showed up, Pam kind of came out of nowhere and was kind of aggressive. She asked, are you a resident of the state? And I said no. And she's like, oh. And then she turned to the officer and she's like, is this even legal? He shouldn't be allowed to do this here because he's not a resident. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm not breaking the law, you know, like, somebody has to be there to collect signatures. Nobody's going to work for free to collect 400,000 signatures, you know, in under like a month and a half, right? You know, and of course, you know, if this was an issue that is more adjacent to her side of the aisle, she would have no problem with me, you know, being out of state. But of course, it goes against her opinion. So, you know, she has to be, she was really nasty, just a really nasty lady. And so once the police left, you know, she followed me around and me and my brother, you know, and she was harassing us, essentially just, you know, telling us we're not supposed to be here. We shouldn't be doing this, blah, blah, blah. And then she began to start following people in the parking lot around, like going out to them and telling them, hey, don't sign this. These guys they're not even from here. They're just being paid by billionaires. They don't care about us or this issue, you know. And some people were basically just like, lady, screw off. I'm going to sign this, you know, whether a couple people signed because she said not to. It was pretty funny.
Wow. So did you feel like she hindered your ability to collect signatures?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. She blocked us and obstructed us from signature gathering. She more so my brother than me, because at one point she was just, you know, completely talking over him, explaining the initiative to people. And I wasn't there when this happened, but I guess he kind of snapped at her, Not in like a really aggressive way, but you know, he's a father. He's got four kids, but he just kind of snapped at her like, "Hey, you know, you need to get the heck away from me. You're obstructing me. You know, this is illegal." Gross misdemeanor is a serious offense, you know, when it comes to obstructing the signature gathering process, because you know this is just democracy at its roots, right? You know, it's our First Amendment, right? And she definitely obstructed and hindered us, but it wasn't too bad because people still kind of signed. You know, people who that know about the initiative, they're gonna want to sign no matter what.
Yeah. So did you feel like at any point, either with you or with the police officers, she was using her position as a city council member, like bringing up who she was?
So she never said anything about being a city councilwoman to us at all. We didn't find that out until somebody else that knew her told us after they came up to us.
What was your reaction
Yes,
that
I.
woman who was nasty towards you is a city council member in that town?
I was surprised. I thought that was honestly the craziest part about the whole day was learning that she was an elected official, completely unprofessional. You know, she doesn't have any business being an elected official for sure.
Crazy. Well, we are going to find out where you and your brother are going to be, and we're going to send lots of people your way to sign this initiative. And we do appreciate, I know it's a job for you guys, but we do appreciate you putting yourself out there to help our state get back on track.
Yeah, I love Washington State. I've been considering moving out here, just because I love the environment. The weather is kind of more up my alley, and just the people overall have been way more pleasant to be around than where I'm from in California, which is kind of sad to say. But you know, I really like this issue. I've worked tons of different initiatives. Not all of them I agree with. At the end of the day, it's just to get it onto the ballot, to let the voters decide, to give the people their right to choose and have their voice heard on what they want to vote on, right? But this issue specifically is a very important issue in my opinion that you know people need to take a stance on. And even if I'm not from the state, you know, I'm still a United States citizen. I'm American. You know, I want everybody to have their voice heard, and I want to defend everybody's rights to choose what they want, you know, implemented in their local communities.
Yeah, amen. So that's Nick Large. He's a signature gatherer out there collecting signatures for the initiative to repeal the income tax. He's in Sammamish outside of Safeway when Sammamish City Councilwoman Pam Stewart, who's also attacked me and my First Amendment rights, is out there trying to interfere allegedly with their signature gathering. And as a reminder, and I know that he's thinking about filing a police report. I believe he intends to file a police report now that he has a name associated with the woman who was committing this sort of conduct. As a reminder, it is a gross misdemeanor under Washington state law, RCW 29A.84.250, to interfere with or attempt to interfere with the right of any voter to sign or not to sign an initiative or referendum petition, or with the right to vote for or against an initiative or referendum measure by threats, intimidation, or any other corrupt means or practice. And so, certainly, I hope that Nick follows through and files a police report with the city of Sammamish. She is a city council member. She should know better. And she should know that she doesn't have a right to sit there and interfere. She might not like that they're in her city at their Safeway. She doesn't have a right to interfere with the initiative and signature gathering process, Pam. So we'll update you on what happens. We did reach out to Pam yesterday. We gave her 48 hours to respond to these allegations. She has not responded thus far, so we'll continue to give her an opportunity to do so. All right, coming up next, Seattle's socialist mayor Katie Wilson, under a lot of pressure not to pause the CCTV crime camera program in the city ahead of the World Cup. First, if you're looking to save some money as a family, maybe it's because gas prices are just out of control and your family's budget's really tight, take another look at your insurance. Go to firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com, and they'll just go over your current insurance plans with you. It's called the First Mark Challenge. They'll go out, they'll shop their market of carriers, make their recommendations. And it could be that, hey, you know, your insurance is already great, you don't need us, or it might be, hey, we could save you hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. That is the case for so many Undivided viewers and listeners who have taken the First Mark Challenge. Robin says she's saving $100 a month. We've heard from people saving $12,000 a year by just across all of their policies, business and personal. So it's worth a call to First Mark. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right, so in Seattle, there are, in some of the high crime areas in Seattle, there are police cameras that are monitored using something, and I've been in there before. It's called the Real-Time Crime Center. It's in police headquarters, and so they can monitor some of the criminal activity happening around the city, especially at a time when they're so short-staffed. So to have these cameras in areas of high crime has been very valuable to the Seattle Police Department. One of the cases they were able to solve as a result of it is the brutal random attack on that elderly man in downtown Seattle at 3rd and Pine. The video from that, I mean, these two young men just beat this old man for no reason. And so the video from that, the public was able to recognize, you know, one of the suspects was arrested pretty quickly, but the other one, the public recognized who it was, called in a tip, all thanks to those cameras. And so certainly, especially when there's not going to be police officers around, the cameras have been very beneficial. This is a program that was launched in April of 2025. It started with a pilot program of 62 of these cameras located in three areas. So downtown, along Aurora Avenue, and in the Chinatown International District. And then under Mayor Bruce Harrell, they made a decision to expand the program to three additional neighborhoods: the Stadium District, the Central District, and the Capitol Hill kind of nightlife area. So all very tailored to problems where there have been significant crime, or places where there have been significant crime issues. But then the socialist wins the mayoral race. And she had said when she was a candidate that she didn't support or had some skepticism of these CCTV cameras run by the police department because she was anti-cop. She just hates the cops and she loves criminals. And so this whole idea over privacy, it was never over privacy. And I'm not saying there aren't like legitimate privacy issues, but that's not why. They just don't like the cops. They don't want to arrest and prosecute criminals. That's just the socialist way of life. And then they don't want ICE to use the cameras. Oh my gosh, we can't let the feds solve crime and help our city either. So she gets into office and all of a sudden she's under a ton of pressure from her left-wing allies to make good on what she said on the campaign trail and do away with these police cameras. So she thinks about it. She comes out in March and she announces what she's going to do. And I think understanding the decision she made is important before we move on. So she comes out, she does a press conference, and she lists what she's going to do. She said, "I'm pausing the expansion of this pilot program until we have completed a privacy and data governance audit. In the meantime, the Real-Time Crime Center will continue to operate existing cameras. So those will remain in place." So she said, all those cameras we have already, they can keep running, but I'm pausing the expansion. Now, why is that important? Well, because the expansion is for, in part, the Stadium District, and we have the World Cup coming up. So she decided first, given the unique nature of the upcoming World Cup and the current geopolitical situation, I've chosen to move forward with the installation of the cameras in the Stadium District slated for this spring. So that's good, right? Okay, well, at least she's going to add new cameras to the Stadium District. But she added this caveat. However, they will not be turned on and will not be connected to the Real-Time Crime Center unless we are aware of a credible threat which warrants such action. And then they'll be turned off once that threat subsides. Like, what does she expect? You know, we catch a lot of terror attacks before they happen. We thwart a lot of plots. But that doesn't mean that the concern is the plots we don't thwart, that we don't find out about, which is a real possibility, right? And sometimes when you learn of the threat, it's too late to stop the threat. So she's like, I'm gonna install the cameras in the Stadium District, but we're not going to turn them on. We'll flip them on as the terror attack is unfolding. It's just the stupidest thing I maybe have ever heard. And it's dangerous. And as much as I joke, there are deadly consequences for such just inept leadership. And yes, I mean, we're going to have some help, mutual aid for other police departments who are going to come in. Seattle PD is 700 officers short, so certainly it's not something they can deal with on their own. So they'll have mutual aid come in from other policing agencies. And yes, the federal government and the Department of Homeland Security are going to be doing their best to prevent any sort of attack against the stadium. But they've, you know, done their best to prevent terror attacks in other places where there have been terror attacks, unfortunately. One of those places is the Boston Marathon bombing. So something I found out through all this process, Seattle City Councilman Rob Saka was in the Boston Marathon when the bombing happened. I had no idea. And so he is telling Seattle's mayor, like in so many words, you moron, like with the cameras have to be on in the stadium district, don't just install them and don't and not turn them on. That makes no sense based on his experience having been in the Boston Marathon bombing. But first he says, just generally speaking, he doesn't feel like we're prepared to keep the World Cup safe.
I don't think that our city is as ready as it could be to host the world for such a global event of this scale. The good news is that the solution is simple and there's a quick fix available. This council has previously authorized and funded the expansion of critical security cameras in key areas throughout the city. And I'm proud that we also baked in the best in the nation guardrails and robust privacy controls to prevent misuse and prevent data from falling into the hands of the federal government for immigration purposes.
A little clapping at the end there. So he's saying, look, everything is fine. We've done what we need to do to stop ICE from using the cameras. We need to get these in place. And then he talks about being present for the Boston Marathon bombing.
In 2013, me and my wife ran the Boston Marathon. And at the family meetup location next to hundreds of other families and kids waiting to cheer on their parents and welcome their parents who had just finished and all the excitement and joy that that entails. And then the first of the bombs went off. And I'll also never forget how very critical security cameras, including CCTV, were in helping law enforcement quickly identify the perpetrators, quickly understand what happened, and help prevent further tragedies. Yes, it did.
Yeah, imagine that. I mean, he's somebody with common sense and somebody who's been through it and experienced, you know, the horror of that situation and also understood that these tools help to keep people safe. And he said, you know, to her point about, oh, we'll turn them on if there's a threat. He's like, we can't take that risk.
Preparedness means planning for the worst case scenario before, not after. We're failing to meet the moment. The credible threat standard. Well, the major premises of the credible threat intelligence is fundamentally flawed because, as was alluded to earlier, it falsely assumes and incorrectly assumes that the purported threat will always pop up on a radar every single time with no fail rate whatsoever. We need to get it right 100% of the time. But the people who seek to do our community harm only need to get it right once.
Yeah, exactly. So a couple other things that are relevant to understand with this decision Mayor Wilson made back in March. So again, she says, I'll put the cameras, we'll install the new cameras at the stadium district, but I'm not going to turn them on unless we find out about a terror threat. Just absolutely stupid. But then she says, second, then she makes some other exceptions, which again, are exceptions that put woke ideology ahead of stopping a terror attack. She says, second, I'm turning off one currently installed camera, which has a view of a facility which provides reproductive health care and gender-affirming care. So all these cameras, by the way, are currently in high-crime areas. They're not there to look at the clinic to see who's going in to get an abortion or who's going in to get their genitals removed. They're there to capture crime. And SPD's policy was already to mask or blur, like surrounding, if they have a crime issue that actually is captured in that camera, to blur other people who who might be in the background coming or going from the clinic. And then she says this: in the event of a surge of immigration enforcement, similar to what was seen in Minneapolis, I will turn off all cameras in order to prevent them from being abused by federal authorities. Wait a second. You do realize that there is going to be a lot of feds here during the World Cup. Homeland Security investigations, the Department of Homeland Security in general. I mean, you name it. The federal alphabet of agencies will be present. And given what's happened around the country, you don't think there's going to be an awful lot of examples of misidentification of people who say, see Department of Homeland Security or DHS on the back of someone's jacket and say, ICE is here, and think it's ICE and they're out there conducting immigration enforcement? And you don't think that once the little lefty lunatics start chit-chatting online and protesting that Mayor Wilson won't say, oh, we're going to cut all the cameras off out of an abundance of caution? Of course they are, because they're not smart. So it doesn't matter if it's actually ICE or actually the feds conducting immigration enforcement. They're going to say, oh, now we'll turn off all the cameras. So again, putting woke ideology and hatred of Donald Trump ahead of stopping the potential of a terror attack that could kill thousands of people. That's how their minds work. One other thing that she did in this decision. She said, finally, I'm temporarily pausing all use of automatic license plate readers, which capture and record the license plates of all vehicles in a specific area. So completely shutting off another valuable tool where, God forbid, let's say that they do get news that there's a terror plot, they get some information on a vehicle, those cameras could help find that vehicle like this. No, we're not going to do it. I mean, this woman has lost her mind. If there is some sort of attack or serious crime that hurts someone or hurts hundreds or thousands of people or a terror attack, it is going to be on the shoulders of Seattle's socialist mayor, who would rather put her far left, very vocal group of supporters ahead of common sense, safety and security, and fighting literal terrorism. And true to socialist communist form, she will not accept any dissent on this issue. So this is a great exclusive from Como News' Jeremy Harris. I want to give him credit here. The headline, Police Union Spars with Seattle Mayor's Office Over Social Media Post That Criticized Her. Okay, so on May 18th, the Seattle Police Officers Guild posted this on X, along with a video showing a shooting outside a Capitol Hill nightclub. They wrote, another example of CCTV cameras helping SPD detectives and SPOG members investigate violent crime in Seattle. Mayor Katie, how many more examples do you need? Don't take away the vital tools officers rely on to identify, locate, and apprehend violent criminals in our city. Seems reasonable enough. It's the police union. They can criticize the mayor if they want. Well, apparently the mayor's office doesn't think so. So the morning after that post, the Seattle mayor's office, specifically a woman named Allison Holcomb, she, her, the executive operations manager for public safety, sent SPOG an email demanding that they remove that social media post. It said, good morning, Kent, who's the SPOG president. SPOG's social media post on X at 5:02 p.m. last evening appears to violate subsections 3 and 4 of the SPD policy manual. Use of the RTCC, Real-Time Crime Center, will be for legitimate law enforcement purposes only. And they also say that the Seattle Municipal Code prohibits recorded information from being used for political purposes. It says, please pull the post immediately. Again, they don't care about... Look, she's a socialist. Socialists want everything controlled by the state. I mean, that's why, you know, she treats Jonathan Cho like she treats Jonathan Cho and saying, you're not a journalist. They want state-controlled media, state-run media like China. And they certainly don't allow for any dissent. Now, there's a couple problems with this, some obvious problems, but with this demand that essentially an outside entity, the police union, pull this post criticizing the mayor. The first thing is that the video that they showed in that post wasn't from a Seattle police CCTV camera operated by the Real-Time Crime Center. It was obtained by Como's Jeremy Harris from a private camera. And so what Spog was basically saying is, hey, these CCTV cameras are valuable crime-fighting tools. And using an example of footage that, yes, was from a private camera, but was valuable in helping them solve this shooting. So the assertion from the mayor's office that the use of that video violated municipal code that says the video can't be used for political purposes is just baseless. So it goes on to say, Como News, they responded, their attorney responded to the mayor's office and basically told him, kick rocks. It says, on Friday, attorneys representing Spog sent the mayor's office a cease and desist notice directing staff to stop any efforts to pursue disciplinary action against Spog members related to the May 18th post. The notice states your emails constitute a flagrant unconstitutional governmental action undertaken on behalf of the mayor's office in violation of the First and 14th Amendments. Correct. You know, they do have a First Amendment right to post whatever the hell kind of criticism of her that they want. And the video that they used was not in violation of Seattle Municipal Code. And then it goes on to say, the fact that you, Holcomb, and the mayor's office later recognized your error and attempted to retract your demand that Spog remove the post after having already made a threat of disciplinary action against its member is legally irrelevant. So the police union president said Spog has no plans to change its practice of being critical of city leaders on public safety issues. So the mayor's office, take that down. Because they don't want the criticism is valid. Totally socialist commie way of thinking. No criticism allowed. And to think that they control the police union and that the police union doesn't have First Amendment rights. I'm sensing a theme here of the far left really taking issue with the First Amendment when it's people who don't agree with them utilizing the First Amendment to criticize their policies. This whole thing is bonkers. This whole thing is bonkers. We have the cameras. We have the approval to install new cameras around the stadium district at a time when we could be the target of terrorists. And the socialist mayor wants to just put her woke, oh no, ICE is bad, Trump is bad, all these things ahead of preventing a terror attack. And then doesn't want anyone to criticize her about it. And it's not just the terror attack thing. All these police resources are going to be down at the stadium. And we had the president of the police union on Sundays with subscribers like 2 weeks ago. And he said, yeah, the stadium is covered, but what about everywhere else? There's not going to be a police presence, the kind of police presence we need in all these areas where there's been violent crime and random attacks. I asked you in our subscriber show poll, which we'll get to a little later on. We'll save it for comments, but go take the poll if you haven't already about whether you support the use of police surveillance cameras in these high crime areas. Because I understand, I think reasonable people can have privacy concerns, but do those concerns outweigh the need to properly ensure public safety in high crime areas? So we'll discuss. All right, we'll get to our segment Unbelievable coming up next. Maybe some more PDC troubles for the socialist state lawmaker Sean Scott. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Man, especially now, I think we're going to talk about this in national, or maybe I'm putting Nicole on the spot. Mom Donnie in New York City, he wants to take away people's private property if they're not the kind of landlord that the city agrees with. They want to take their private property from them. This stuff is out of control, but honestly, some of the policies around landlords and landlord-tenant laws are already de facto the taking of private property. So you definitely need someone in your corner. That's RHA. They are Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. Go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org. I believe it's about $260 a year to become a member. They also have events all year long, and they're advocating on your behalf during the session and outside of the session. rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, some haters came for our friend Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle, and they might finally be getting their comeuppance. Is that the word? Sure. Comeuppance. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. God, we got a meaty show today. Meaty show today. All right, so you all know We Heart Seattle, run by our friend Andrea Suarez. In fact, many of you have generously donated to We Heart Seattle. We just auctioned off a couple signed constitutions and raised quick $7,200 for them. And Andrea does great work. This is a citizen-led organization that goes out and does the hard work dealing with the homeless crisis that the government homeless industrial complex simply refuses to do. And when Andrea Suarez first started We Heart Seattle, ooh, the far left hated it. The Stop the Sweeps crowd hated it, that she'd go into these parks and she'd clean up the trash and she'd clean up the needles, probably some noodles too. She'd clean up the needles and the noodles, and she'd use tough love, and she'd encourage people to get out of the tents, get off the streets, get help, God forbid, for their addiction. The far left hated it. So there was a website that was started several years ago now, and they called it We Heart Seattle Exposed. Our premise is that We Heart Seattle causes harm, and they'd encourage people to report encounters with We Heart Seattle, and they would vilify everything that Andrea Suarez did. And honestly, the news media would, you know, use a lot of what this website put out to attack what Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle was doing. And you know, it's just ridiculous, because here you have this woman with very little money at the time, you know, on this budget as a nonprofit, going out and doing so much more than a multi-billion dollar effort from the state of Washington would do. And she was vilified every step of the way. But then something interesting happened. Remember when Andrea Suarez, a couple years ago, decided she was going to run for the state legislature? And she ran against socialist Sean Scott. And socialist Sean Scott won, which I thought was just absolutely crazy, but kind of shows you the voters in that area of Seattle, their mindset. So Sean Scott ends up winning. But when that campaign was being run, apparently We Heart Seattle Exposed, the website, turned into a de facto fundraising site for Sean Scott's campaign and failed to properly report that that's what they were doing. So the website has since been taken down, by the way, scrubbed, but of course we can look the archive up of things. But this is what a PDC complaint alleged. So it was filed in August of 2024, and it's been making its way through the system ever since, filed by Kate Martin. So it talks about this website, We Heart Seattle Exposed. It says, We Heart Seattle Exposed is an anonymous website that was started well before Andrea Suarez filed to run for position 2 in the 43rd District in May of 2024. They write, after Ms. Suarez filed for office, information was added to this website promoting Sean Scott's candidacy. It urged readers to take action against Ms. Suarez's candidacy. The website states, it stated at the time, it's been taken down, quote, three simple things you can do right now to prevent Andrea Suarez from becoming a Washington state lawmaker. The button that says, take me to them, redirects readers to the following website. So it had a little link in there. Again, it's taken down, but they had all this captured. It said the first option urges readers to donate to Sean Scott's campaign and provides a link to the donation page on Mr. Scott's official campaign website. They say, I believe that such websites are a serious problem because without quick enforcement, such websites could proliferate in future campaigns. So they basically attached this, sent it to the PDC, and one of the issues with where they sent people to was they sent it, so a couple issues. It says the PDC's website does not show any registration for We Heart Seattle Exposed, and the public does not know who's behind the website. They say C4 forms filed by Sean Scott do not list any in-kind contributions from We Heart Seattle Exposed, and Act Blue, which is sort of the online fundraising arm of the Democratic Party, could identify the number of donations that came from We Heart Seattle Exposed, but hasn't. They also say the company hosting We Heart Seattle Exposed could identify the number of clicks to Mr. Scott's website, but it hasn't provided that yet. So this case starts moving forward in the PDC. And again, the person who operates it is a woman named Erin Riggers. She has a hearing before the PDC. Not only did they eviscerate her, they said they're referring the case for investigation to the Attorney General's office.
So I'll tell you what I'm particularly concerned about, and that is your unwillingness to say who you received the request for procurement of the domain name. Washington law has a provision that says if somebody is peculiarly in possession of information not readily available to the other side and refuses to produce it, that can be taken as an inference that the evidence that would be produced if provided is unfavorable to the party withholding it. So we're going to continue this to our next calendar, and I'm going to ask our commission to consider referring this to the AG's office, where there are contempt procedures available to enforce questions to individuals.
Respectfully, Chair, I completely reject that characterization that I'm withholding.
I don't care whether you reject or accept. That's what I have observed. Whether you agree with me or disagree doesn't matter. I accept that you have the right to appeal decisions that I make, first to the commission, and then if the commission's decision is something you disagree with, to the Superior Court in the state of Washington.
Now, let me be clear, because I do believe the PDC can be weaponized for political purposes. There's currently two complaints against me that I think are totally bogus. I believe people have free speech rights. But what is happening there and what they're criticizing her for is they say she's simply not handing over the information that they've requested to determine whether this is a violation or not a violation. They say she could easily do it. And that's why they say we'll refer a case to the AG's office basically for impeding our investigation. So I think that private citizens should and do have a First Amendment right to post a link to a fundraising page for Sean Scott and say, hey, I support Sean Scott's candidacy. Go donate to his campaign. And that's certainly not a PDC violation. But what they're saying is they want to get to the bottom of if this crossed a line. And they say she's impeding their ability to do that. And you saw him just snap back at her because she was just being a total you-know-what. So We Heart Seattle's Andrea Suarez responded to this. And this is a picture of Erin Riggers that she included in her expo. She said, after years of anonymous smears, defamation, and bullying aimed at destroying We Heart Seattle and our work helping the drug-addicted homeless, the chickens are finally coming home to roost. Last week, the PDC sent Erin Riggers to the Attorney General for investigation into illegal undisclosed campaign solicitations on the We Heart Seattle exposed site. What goes around comes around, and transparency and accountability are catching up. We'll keep doing the real work while the truth does its job. Erin refused to turn her camera on for the PDC hearing, she said, which, yeah, I guess if my hair looked like that, I might refuse to turn my camera on for the... No, I'm just kidding. God, Brandy, stop it. Stop being mean. Making fun of Pam's haircut and Erin's hair. But that's like, that's, you know, the blue, you couldn't pick blue, pink, purple. Which one is it? All of them. Now, as I said, I think a private citizen should be able and has the First Amendment right to solicit donations for a political candidate, but it depends on the nature of the website and all of these things. And the PDC is clearly trying to get to the bottom of that and says she's not helping us get to the bottom of it. Now, we reached out to State Representative Sean Scott. Do we call him a friend of the show? He's been on the show.
I feel like we should.
I think that State Rep Sean Scott is a friend of the show in the sense that he has been on the show. He's been very communicative with us. We reached out to him for a comment, and here's what he said. He said, I wasn't aware of this website, and so I don't know who's running it or what kind of campaign activity they were up to. And frankly, I do think that's plausible. I do think that's plausible. Just because somebody runs a website and sends people to his donation site doesn't mean he told them to. Doesn't mean he knows about it. That's what the PDC is trying to get to the bottom of. If this woman will cooperate, and if she doesn't, then she's going to be under investigation from the Attorney General's office. So we will update you on that. All right, we'll get to some national news coming up next, including what is wrong with these people? Karen Bass may be breaking election law by campaigning a little too close to ballot drop boxes. It's like, do they not know the laws? Does somebody not tell them? She's been in politics that long. It's so interesting. We'll get to that coming up next. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, maybe moving out of state, maybe moving across the street or whatever it is, reach out to our friend Wes Jones. It's a weird housing market right now in the sense that you have a lot of homes going up for sale and maybe not as many buyers coming into the market to buy them. So you need to make sure your home is properly prepared. Lon Westover, who's an Undivided viewer, he says that they went to Wes to sell their home because they were moving to Arizona. And Wes suggested, look, we do need to do some work to the house before you sell it to get top dollar. Lon says he was skeptical, but in the end, they did what Wes told them to do, and they're glad they did so.
And so we ended up doing pretty much everything everything they said. We did it all. And then all of a sudden, in 5 days, it was three offers, all above list price. It was just kind of stunned. So yeah. It was dramatic, unbelievable thing. Because I told Wes when we talked to him, I said, well, we had to eat crow on it. And he goes, well, Lon, you followed the process. That's all I ask you to do, and you followed it. Well, thank you for pushing us through, pushing us over the edge to make the process work.
Yeah, so we went from Sell With West to Sold With West. Go to sellwithwest.com, peruse some of their recent listings. But just, I would just reach out to West for a market analysis. And basically, he'll just give you a lay of the land, set your expectations, and then take things from there. And it's never too early to reach out, too, if you're just at the early stages of contemplating moving. So sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, did Karen Bass violate election law in her bid for re-election to LA mayor? Here's a little video that she put this one out, right? Yes. This is her video. So not only is she accused of violating election law, she's accused of being dumb enough to post it. So here she is. We took the sound out because she put stupid music on it. We don't want to copyright. There she is with all her supporters dropping her ballot into the ballot drop box to cheers and chants and photographs. And then there's other people. Oh, I'm voting for Mayor Bass for re-election. Let's post this campaign video. Look how excited they all look. Wow. And then she does a little thing telling people to vote. Right at the ballot drop box. Fill it out. Hand it to your postal worker. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, you can take that down. I hate when politicians put video or music on their videos because we can't use it because YouTube will strip it down. But anyway, Spencer Pratt points out, I don't think you can do that. He said Karen Bass just violated election law. She is so accustomed to breaking the law with no accountability, she even filmed herself doing it. Well, those days are over. We just filed a formal complaint for illegally gaming the election. We must protect our democracy. He says electioneering within 100 feet of a ballot box is against the law. Soliciting votes at a ballot box is against the law. And that's what she does at the end of that video. These clear violations show a reckless disregard for the rule of law and our democratic process. Someone in a position of power should be especially respectful of our democratic laws. But this is just emblematic of Karen's mafia-like regime. It's rules for thee, but not for me. And then he attaches the formal complaint that they filed this morning. And he also attached California election code and election laws. So it says, a person shall not on election day or at any time that a voter may be casting a ballot within a 100-foot limit specified in this section do any of the following. They can't, it says, they can't an outdoor site, including a curbside voting area. So you can't, this includes like a ballot drop box. It says, where's the actual, oh, disseminate visible or audible electioneering information. Speak to a voter about marking the voter's ballot, solicit a vote. I think that's the big one. Can't solicit a vote, which she's clearly doing. And then you're clearly disseminating audible electioneering information. It says any person who violates any of this provision of this section shall be guilty of a misdemeanor. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, this clip is, well, not a surprise. When you elect a socialist is going to do socialist things. And socialists believe in the, you know, collective ownership of property. And the really intense ones don't believe in private property ownership at all. So New York Mayor Zohran Mamdani unveiled a plan to shift the ownership of property from evil landlords to the public.
Through our new citywide campaign, Fix the City, we will focus on the worst landlords in New York City. When necessary, we will take aggressive legal action to remove negligent owners and property managers. And for buildings that have suffered chronic neglect, we will work to transfer ownership to responsible stewards.
What?
Stewards that include community land trusts, nonprofits. Nonprofits. Or oh even gosh. The tenants themselves.
Oh my gosh. That is the mayor of the largest city in America. That is terrifying. So, oh, we don't like how you're treating this tenant, so we're going to give them your house. We're going to give them your apartment, your condo. I mean, it is, but the thing is, it's like everybody on the internet's like, oh my gosh, this is wild, and it is un-American, but it is socialism. Like, who did you think you were electing? You hear all the people just mindlessly cheering, yay, public land trust. Oh, this is so cool. Socialists want to do that. And Katie Wilson, you don't think that that's the kind of stuff Katie Wilson is going to be talking about before long? I mean, didn't she already float the idea of like charging people for vacancies as if they wouldn't fill the lease space if they could fill the lease space? And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that that's constitutional, obviously. And so, I don't think it'll go very far, but the idea that in the largest city in America, that's the person who's at the helm and that voters chose is just outrageous. And it makes me very worried about America. All right. Poor Rep Al Green. He lost the Democratic primary race in Texas. Oh, and he's the one who's always out there causing some kerfuffle at the State of the Unions with Trump and stuff. What did he say last time? Black people aren't apes. Black people aren't apes. And he's always shouting down Trump. Well, apparently even the Democrats in Texas thought that his antics were enough. He's been unseated by Christian Menefee in the Texas primary. NBC News projected Menefee defeated Green after a GOP-led redistricting effort forced them to run for the same slice of Houston. So this was part of the redistricting. They're both incumbents, but they got put into the same district, essentially, so only one of them was going to keep their seat, and it's not Al Green. I, for one, will miss the facial hair. That is quite... Can you pull that back up? That's quite the unkempt beard. Look at that thing. Just letting it run wild.
He was pretty obnoxious. So this gives me some hope that there's going to be some big changes coming.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like big changes.
Did you see all of... Well, just, you know, that's a big name, and he's out. So maybe there's some more big names that are going to be
out. I mean, I would have thought that way if it was just his exact district he was running for again. Sure. But because of the change, it's sort of hard to gauge whether that was really, you know, because of him or because of this other guy.
But do you know the other guy? I didn't know the other guy.
No,
so
no idea.
Obviously, the name recognition is not...
Didn't help him.
Going to help him. So hopefully a lot of names that we know are going to leave.
The good ones, yes. Well, right. Paxton won in Texas, and so Cornyn's out, and that's on the Republican. Like anyone who didn't support Trump on the Republican side, they are out. They are absolutely
Which is also
out.
Wild,
so he
I
still
thought.
Has a huge influence in the party. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to our subscriber show poll and comments coming up next. First, summer is coming up before we know it, and so if you're going to be in the backyard enjoying time with family and friends, you want to make sure that you don't, you know, the house looks good. You got the judgmental in-laws looking at things, being like, wow, their siding's really dirty, disgusting. Well, have Valentine Roofing come take care of it so your house is looking its best when you got company over. They can do exterior cleaning, roof inspection, roof cleaning, clean your gutters, and maybe it's just time for a new roof. So if you get on their schedule now, you can lock in your estimate before this situation in the Middle East continues to drive up prices. And they can get you on the calendar to come out within 3 weeks to take care of it. So in time for summer. Call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING, to schedule your free estimate and get it locked in. I guarantee there'll be no surprises, just a clear estimate you can trust. And when you see that red Valentine van pull up, you know you're in good hands. Call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. All right, in our daily subscriber show poll, I asked you guys if you support the use of police surveillance cameras in high crime areas. And I know we have a lot of conservatives, so I was wondering how many people, because I don't want a police state either, right? I don't want my every move to be monitored in real time by the cops. So I wondered how many people would have a concern about the privacy issues. Nicole, what do you say? Do you support the use of police surveillance cameras in high crime areas? Yes or no? I have privacy concerns.
Yes. Okay. I don't have a lot of privacy concerns about street cameras. I don't really care that much, but I'm not a criminal and I don't have much to hide. So
when that's the thing is like, if you're out there anyway, you're in public. Like, what are you trying to, what privacy are you trying to protect?
Right.
If you're out on Three Pine with all the tourists, like, what privacy are you trying to protect?
I know. And I get maybe someday technology will use that against us. But right now, sure. I don't think it's being used against us necessarily as an average citizen, like just their day to day. I get it. They can probably target ads based on what we walk next to or I don't know. But right now I'm not that concerned and maybe we'll have to adjust later.
Well, and also like if you're at 12th and Jackson, what are you doing there? You know what I mean?
Right.
What are you doing there? Let's be honest. 95% of you say yes, you support this. Park says privacy concerns be damned at this point. Our law enforcement is already hamstrung by activist prosecution and judges. Law enforcement needs as many tools as they can to get press prosecution to file cases. Now, I'm not going to say privacy concerns be damned because I do, you know, I am worried, especially with AI and all these things. But you guys, the government already knows what you're up to. They already freaking know. And they're sharing it with the aliens. Even the aliens already know. Everyone knows. Pirate Dawn, I don't trust our government with a blank check like this. Totally understandable. John Coyne, people with nothing to hide aren't bothered by surveillance. We're not talking about the inside of your private home. When you're in public, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy anyway. Yeah, that's what I was trying to articulate earlier. Just didn't do as good of a job as you did. Just Sensible over on Local says, absolutely. We have the lowest number of police officers per capita, so cameras make even more sense. Dwayne says, here's a thought. Represent the taxpayers, not the drain on taxpayers. Yeah, they're constantly making decisions, not for the law-abiding taxpaying, but for the opposite. And I got to tell you, it gets really old after a while. Good comments per the usual. Holy smoke. Oh, did you send Old Sub Sailor a picture?
We took it with his camera.
Oh, okay. So Nicole and I had a great time last week. We went to Sumner.
Yes.
Sumner. Mm-hmm. We met with one of the, Brian and his wife, Nicole. They were lovely. We had dinner with them, and they were one of our winners of the signed Constitution auction to benefit We Heart Seattle. And then over on Thursday, we went over to
Kingston
on the ferry. Beautiful day. Had some fantastic pizza with our friend, Old Sub Sailor, Mike, who was the other recipient of our Constitution.
We could probably still not be eating and be full.
I was so full. We ate. So me and Mike was all, they were all so awesome. We had so much fun. So we go over to this pizza place. I wish I knew the name of it because we should give them some love.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Sourdough Willie's.
It was so good. But we ordered three, there's three of us. We ordered three cheese-based appetizers. Mm-hmm. And then we ordered a pizza. We were both like, save me. I was so full all weekend.
So full.
Old Sub Sailor, I mentioned that because he did a $200 super chat. You've given us enough. He said, special thanks to Brandy and Nicole for the great dinner conversation and autographed Constitution book last week. The book is full of great writings and speeches from our forefathers. I also thank the entire team for all your work in truth telling. It's an honor to be a small part of it. No, thank you. Mike was awesome. We had such a great time. And then Brian and his wife are so cool, except like, we went to these dinners and Nicole and I immediately ordered drinks and none of them drank. And we're just like, okay, apparently we're alcoholics. On the income tax initiative, just on fire. Steve says, this isn't going to go the way Robert thinks it's going to go. It will be an absolute cinema. Is Robert Bob?
I believe so.
Calling him Robert just gives too much professionalism. John Thomas, why not amend the state constitution to make the tax legal without a crooked Supreme Court? Because they know that the votes aren't there. Mm-hmm. The votes have never been there. They've tried it a million times. Milkman, so they're going to spend our money on commercials so they can take more of our money? Yeah. I mean, SEIU, WEA, they get taxpayer funds. They benefit from your money. And so, yeah, they'll take it, especially the WEA. They're going to take that, turn around. Just ridiculous.
If you're a teacher, yep.
If you're a teacher... Good point, Nicole. If you're a teacher and you haven't left the union, your money is going to be used to institute an income tax on you and your family.
Right.
Edmund. Hello, Brandy. So even if repealed, what's to stop good old SpongeBob from just pulling a King Inslee and not adhering to the initiatives in the past? None of them were repealed time after time. Yeah, I mean, even if the initiative is passed in November... If you think that's the end of the legal lawfare, of course not. It never is. They'll come and they'll sue. Bob will say, I look forward to voters weighing in. And then he'll help lead the challenge to somehow throw the initiative results out the window.
It just blows my mind that people don't see how wrong that is for him to fight the people.
Yep, it is wrong.
Crazy.
On our friend Pam Stewart, the Sammamish City Councilwoman accused of blocking a signature gatherer, Daniel says, Pam looks like your typical HOA tyrant.
But like a Karen.
What they describe, like her running up, you can't do this, this is illegal, talking to the cops, going out to confront people before they came to sign. It's outrageous. Get a grip. And I'll probably say it on the show for sure, but I think that those signature gatherers are going to be back at the Sammamish Safeway, not today, but the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you for sure tomorrow, but it would be good to go visit them, right? William Keller, I signed over the weekend in Gig Harbor. I was on the lookout for Pam, Karen. Yeah, and if you go, even if you've already signed, thank the signature gatherers, you know, make sure you're looking out for anyone harassing them. James McCorkey, couple questions. I really like your show. As a government employee, Pam was likely getting paid by the city at the time she was interfering. Where is the line drawn for her First Amendment to block our efforts when it relates to her job? Does the fact that she didn't bring up her job mean she may be protected? I don't know. We've requested the police body camera footage. I have a hard time thinking at some point she didn't mention who she was to the cops. I have a hard time believing that. So we shall see. But no, I mean, a city council member has a right. As long as she's not out there like demanding, as a member of the city council, I demand that you stop doing this. You know, she's got First Amendment rights as well. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't have a right to interfere with the gathering of signatures. All right, on Seattle mayor and the crime camera thing, Necro Two Shoes. I'd trust a camera far more than an eyewitness. Yeah, eyewitnesses, notoriously unreliable. Lockman, you too, you need to be proactive. Reactive will get people killed. Yeah, the whole idea, we'll turn it on if there's a terror attack. Are you kidding me?
It doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Let's see, Katrina Ferguson, no relation. Katrina Ferguson. No relation. Can you imagine if something does happen in this city, she would be the worst person to be in charge? Oh my gosh, 100%. I have to also say,
well, remember, that was one of the questions she was asked really quick. That was, she was asked during the campaign, what will you do in a natural, and she had nothing to say. Yeah. She said, I'd probably make some calls. And everybody said, well, what if the phones are down?
Yeah, like,
because during an emergency like that, or when there's so many people that are downtown, like the lines could get tied up or whatever. Right. Yeah, scary. Yeah.
But just, I should mention, and we didn't talk about it on the show, the explosion at the Longview paper factory, horrible. And I know that they still haven't had a final sort of count for how many people died, but just awful for that community. And I thought it was really nice and important that Governor Ferguson was there alongside Jim Walsh, Republican, represents that area, chair of the state Republican Party.
Patty Murray was
and
there.
That they were a united front. And I just, my heart breaks for them. It's just a horrible, horrible ordeal. We don't really cover breaking news like that on this show, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we were thinking about all of you out there. Let's see, on potentially more PDC troubles, and I don't know if it's really for Sean Scott. I think it's probably if there are troubles for the woman, because unless you prove that Sean Scott knew what was going on, Nancy Campbell says, I'm going to buy Chuck's boop for today. Is Chuck gone or something? Usually sponsors the boop.
Must be.
Matthew Cook, lots of examples of Marxists who are ignorant of the law. I'm sensing a theme. A couple other chats. John Thomas, SCOTUS ruling in Kelo versus City of New London 2005 allows taking for public benefit, even if it is to transfer to a private entity, because it will benefit the public good. New York City might succeed. Not with this Supreme Court. Don Hebbien, thank you for reporting on this stuff, Brandy. I can't even imagine all the crap you deal with. You are on the right side of history and will pay off in the end. Thank you, sir. Sure. Even if on my deathbed, I'm like, well, it never paid off, but I feel good about myself. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next, talking about fraud. First, a lot of investors right now, understandably, focused on AI, crypto, tech, but the energy situation right now is definitely something that your money manager should be focused on. So ask yourself or ask your advisor, are they underestimating energy's impact on your portfolio? Our friend Zach Abraham, if you schedule a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with him, he can explain how every market is driven by energy. He'll talk about the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement planning. Plus, he'll do a full reveal, as always, of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, to give your retirement as much upside as possible. And you can sign up for that. So it's totally free. It's basically a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. And while you're there, find out how to subscribe to Zach's daily podcast. He does regular market recaps, all that good stuff. Knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, so yesterday there was an anti-fraud roundtable at the White House, and I think that putting J.D. Vance in charge of the fraud hunt has been such a good idea. They're doing, I think, it more successfully than the idea of DOGE that sort of crumbled pretty quickly. But they're spotting, not that they're getting all this money back yet, but they've been able to identify enough fraud in just a year that's like more than twice the entire budget of the state of Washington. And Stephen Miller thinks that this could really help with our nation's deficit.
I believe, based on what I've seen and what I've heard, is that we could balance the federal budget if the only dollars that went out of the Treasury went to individuals who were properly, lawfully, correctly eligible to receive them. And that ultimately is going to be what we have to do as a country. In the meantime, because of the vice president's leadership, you are seeing the most muscular, robust, aggressive, dedicated, determined, and speedy effort to shut down criminal fraud that has not only ever occurred in the history of this country, but in any developed nation.
I don't doubt that. Now, I don't know about the figure that we could balance the budget and get rid of the deficit just if we stop sending money out that's, you know, being fraudulently used. I don't know if that's true or not, but it can't hurt. And if it's $182 million or billion dollars rather this year, imagine, you know, what it's going to do as a matter of determined. I mean, if you've been getting away with fraud because taxpayer money, nobody's looking after it, and now people are going to federal prison potentially for decades for this kind of fraud, I think it will either force them to get more creative or it will reduce instances of fraud in our nation moving forward. And that just is a good thing all around that everyone should support. All right, before you play me off, that has been our closing sanity check. All right, as of right now, you have 4 hours to take advantage of our promo. And again, I'm not playing with you. I'm not going to respond to your emails that say, Brandy, I missed it. I'm going to say you had a month, okay? It's the one time we do it every year. So patreon.com/undivided, patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. And I will say this has been our most successful promo month ever, I think driven in part by the far left's decision to try to come after our business and our movement toward common sense insanity. And a lot of you reacted and responded to that with support, which is really nice because I'm going to use that support to cover our legal bills. So that took some stress off our plate for sure. But and you also get access to Sundays with subscribers, get to participate in our daily show polls. I think coming up this next week, we're going to do a live Q&A that you'll be able to be part of. So patreon.com/undivided. We will not be talking about that on the show tomorrow. Promo code USA30. And that's it. Short week this week. Tomorrow's already our final live episode of the week. It's quite depressing. I miss you guys over the weekend. See you then.